Chapter 34, A Bull Rider's Life. This chapter is an interview I conducted with my Centratel business partner, Sam Kirkaldy. Sam is one of those lucky individuals who intuitively grasps the system's mindset. The interview illustrates the truth of how our lives, however and wherever they may unfold, are each a collection of individual systems. As the interview proceeds, note the myriad small processes that were part of Sam's young life in rural Montana back in the 40s and 50s. Of course, things were slower and much less complex in those days. Also notice Sam's appreciation for the life he's led. Sam Kirkaldy turned 76 this last October. Let's go back. Sam, his wife Bev, and three boys arrived here in Bend, Oregon in 1976. I landed in 1978 with my wife and two children. Sam and I, acquainted since the early 80s and business partners since 2000, share the same lifestyle, entrepreneurial spirit, political viewpoint, and foundational belief that life is not complicated. Sam is physically robust, a long-distance runner, and socially. It seems he knows everyone in town. Before buying stock in Centratel, he was co-owner and manager of KICE Radio, the Central Oregon Country and Western radio station, famous for its DJs known as the Radio Rangers. For Bend residents of 40 years ago, KICE was a communication mainstay. In the mid-70s, there were 14,000 residents in Bend, most working directly or indirectly in the timber industry. Environmental activism killed off the logging industry in the early 80s, but the city's population has grown to 85,000 due to tourism and retirement lifestyle immigrants from all over the United States. Sam and I have watched the changes in sometimes not-so-mute fascination, and we're always ready to analyze real-life systems in action. So I thought it would be good to interview Sam, a true cowboy with an intriguing history and an astute observer of life. Part Native American, Sam was born and grew up on a cattle ranch farm in north central Montana on the Assiniboine Indian Reservation, 120 miles north of Billings, between the Canadian border and the Missouri Breaks. With his family literally living off the land, Sam was on the ranch until he was 17. Sam will tell you things are not complicated. One should work hard to be physically and mentally resilient, that it's important to be prepared, and that too many people carry too much weight as they get caught up in their own heads and in things that don't matter, or they get dragged down by situations that can't be adjusted. He says it's best for a youngster to learn to stand on his or her own 2 feet at an early age. Here's the interview. Sam Carpenter, in your 76 years, what have you learned about making a good life? Sam Kirkaldy, that life is simple, but most people complicate things. They try to carry other people's rocks around. They try to carry society's rocks. It's not healthy. You're only in control of certain segments of your life and can affect only certain things. So work on those things to the best of your ability and let everything else go. There's only so much you can do, and if you can't adjust some particular thing, then don't stress over it. When something comes up, my question is this. In 100 years, is it going to matter? Is it going to have any influence on anyone or anything? If you think about it, leaving writings behind or influencing a family member or a friend in a good way, helping people develop character and integrity, that can improve things way down the line, even a century later. And anyway, this world is a material thing and it doesn't matter that much. I don't know if I was born with this viewpoint or if it was a product of my environment, but either way, since I was a kid, if I couldn't fix or influence something, it was of little concern to me. Sam Carpenter, between the ages of 13 and 24, you rode bulls in rodeo competition. What about that? Sam Kirkaldy, you have no control over that bull. In those days as a teenager, I wasn't thinking quite so philosophically about things, but what I'd do before the ride was to get prepared, to get limbered up, warmed up, because the bull goes in all directions, and the human body must be resilient or there will be injury. My last thought before release out of the chute was, this is going to happen real fast, so be ready. And then, when the gate opened, it was always way faster than I thought it was going to be. Sam Carpenter. Of course, your last answer applies way beyond bull riding at a rodeo. Things really do move fast, don't they? How is life different from 60 years ago? Sam Kirkley. People don't relate to each other as neighbors so much anymore. When I was a child on our farm in Montana, all the neighbors helped each other with harvests. It was a fall ritual. It was by necessity. You had to rely on neighbors. Communications were different then. People would pull up in the road beside each other in their trucks and BS, because there were no phones. If you had an event coming up, you went to the general store and put up a notice on the bulletin board, or left a note in the neighbor's mailbox. People spent more time eyeball to eyeball than they do now. Sam Carpenter. Describe rural life in Montana in the 40s and the 50s. Sam Kirkley. Our place was a combination farm and ranch. We raised cattle and horses, but also had crops, wheat, barley, oats, and alfalfa for hay. We had pigs, chickens, geese, and turkeys, plus a large garden. We got electricity when I was about 7, a 32-volt wind charger that supplied lights and a small refrigerator. To stay up with the outside world, we depended on a battery-powered radio. We had no TV. The Rural Electrification Administration came to our place with commercial electric power when I was 12. I went to a one-room school, all 8 grades in the one room, and anywhere from 12 to 24 students. Our house was a local gathering place, and Mom and Dad were social magnates in the community. It was usual to have anywhere from 10 to 40 or even 50 people, mostly aunts, uncles, and cousins who also lived in the area, at our house on summer Sundays for potluck and softball. In the cold winters, there were many evenings of cards with neighbors or just our own family members, my brother, 2 sisters, Mom and Dad, and my grandmother, Kirkley. We burned wood and coal in 4 different stoves in the house. There was no running water and no electric heat. It was primitive. Our main outside entertainment was gatherings at school, but on holidays we always had a number of family and friends visiting. In the summer, we went to the bush tracks and raced our thoroughbred horses and participated in rodeos. The local county fair was the biggest, most looked forward to event of the year. Each year there were several powwows with Indian dancing and feasting. All in all, we lived pretty well and never knew we were poor. You learned individual responsibility early, as there were always animals depending on your daily care. Personal independence came with the territory. We each had our own jobs and chores to do. I think youngsters today could gain a lot from these kinds of experiences. Sam Carpenter, what do you think of being 76? Sam Kirkley, getting older is liberating. We have more freedom in our actions and opinions because we find ourselves not caring so much what others think, so long as we're not hurting anyone. We can be candid and know our friends will not be offended because they feel the same way and understand. Sam Carpenter, let's do stream of thought. Describe some system-specific images that are strong memories for you now. Sam Kirkley. Thinking back to those days, we did have a lot of individual systems in place. As you know, we raised the majority of the hay and grain to feed our cows, horses, pigs, and chickens. And on one of our fields, about 60 acres, we put several lines of snow fence across it each fall. We positioned these lines to catch as much drifted snow as possible during the cold winter months. This would give the field a good moisture start in the spring, since it was not an irrigated parcel. This would enable us to cut an early first crop of alfalfa for hay, and the second cutting of the season would then be run through a separator to get the seeds and provide us an additional cash crop. We would sometimes get 3,000 pounds of seed from that field, selling it on the open market for 50 cents a pound, which was a lot of money in those days. We also had several additional fields we irrigated by diverting the creek into a ditch we built from about a mile upstream. We used a simple cofferdam to turn the water into our ditch, which brought the water to the uphill side of the field so we could flood irrigate the alfalfa. These systems were inexpensive, requiring some labor, but minimal investment. The same was true of many of the ways we handled our meat and produce. When we butchered a cow, the meat we didn't eat in the first couple of days was either dried for storage or canned in quart jars by Mom, using a pressure cooker. We also did this for most of our vegetables out of our large garden. Potatoes went into the underground cellar for storage, along with carrots and root crops, which we buried in tubs of sand, keeping them fresh for months. We had an ice house that we filled each winter by cutting large blocks of ice from a nearby reservoir. We hauled the blocks to the ice house and put them under a couple of feet of sawdust where they would remain frozen through the entire next summer. We used the ice in our ice box to keep milk and other perishables cool, and it was also used to make ice cream. There were always a couple of blocks still in the ice house the next winter when we prepared to fill it again for the following summer. If we butchered a pig, the hams and bacon were brined and smoked in the smokehouse. In later years, we took them to a shop in town for professional curing. As I mentioned, the Rural Electrification Administration eventually delivered electricity to our place, and this, of course, made many of our farming systems obsolete. There were even lights in the barn to replace the kerosene lanterns. One winter before electricity came our way, we ran short of hay early in January. So Dad, my brother Joe, and my uncle Bill hauled hay from about 30 miles away for the rest of that winter. We had an old farm truck with a hay rack on it, and they pulled an additional hay wagon behind it to make the daily trip, hauling as much loose hay as possible. By design, the old truck did not have antifreeze in the radiator. The winter was bitter cold, often 40 degrees below zero in those days, and each night they would drain the radiator and bring the battery indoors to keep as much charge in it as possible. Then, each morning, they would fill the radiator with hot water and reinstall the battery so the engine would start. The truck was then left running all day rather than take the chance it might get too cold and not start again. There were tons of small tricks and mini systems we used in those days. They were simple and reliable, enough to make our lives easier and more predictable. Sam Carpenter. Final thoughts? Sam Kirkledy. I'm so grateful for the opportunities that have come my way. To marry a lovely, wonderful woman, have three exceptional sons, be able to make a living in the business world, and to travel extensively. It has been a great ride, and I'm looking forward to the time that remains. My gratitude for all this, and especially the friends I treasure, can't be measured. So, that's Sam Kirkledy, a great guy and my closest friend, supportive business partner, and especially an inspiration. You can see that the Kirkledy family systems mindset had to do with maintaining relationships, perfecting routines, and in performing physical system improvements whenever possible. In those days, did Sam and his family contemplate the human and mechanical processes around them? Yes. In every case, they knew what they wanted as an end result, constructing their individual systems with care and maintaining them carefully, all the while propelled by positive attitudes and deep gratitude. They knew how things worked, and they lived the system's mindset. One more thing. Raw courage can be cultivated, and deliberately sitting oneself on an enraged bull is one way to accomplish that. Short of bull riding, what do you do in your own life to flex and strengthen the courage muscle?